Let's head into this hour's guest interview segment. And Dan Dockstetter putting on his senator hat. Senator Dockstetter in studio this morning with the legislative report. Good morning, Senator Dockstetter.
Good morning, Duke.
Well, appreciate you taking some time today. A lot of stuff happening in Cheyenne with the session wrapping up just about a week ago, and wanted to give you a chance to hop on air and kind of summarize things. And I guess we start, Senator, with the property tax bills and everything that happened there, right? Because that was the big focus of this year's session.
Well, in my world, nothing else was the focus. We went down there and we got started. There was somewhere around 17 plus bills in consideration. And we kind of watched those and how they're going to flow. Some of them, there were a special tax committee came together, property tax committee, over the summer months. And Representative Simpson and I testified, got involved in that. Plus, we dragged our county commissioners over to meet with the Department of Revenue on different occasions to say, what's the best way to do this? So as I watched it start to unfold, I could see our main bills coming out of the Property Tax Relief Committee that was set up specifically to go out and find a solution. I watched that kind of unfold, and I thought, that's going to be our mainstream work. I'll let a committee bill go out, because a committee bill, in theory, will have roughly 80 to 85% chance of passing versus an individual bill. And that wasn't always the case this year as we jumped into the situation. As we got down there, I started to watch it kind of unfold, where the bills were going, what was happening. And so I put together a couple of different resolutions that I would call bookends. One was Senate Joint Resolution 12 that created a kind of a separate property class altogether. It's a resolution. It has to go on the ballot for consideration. That was heard early in the session. Then I put together Senate Joint Resolution 3, a property tax relief program for the elderly and the infirm. And those were kind of moving out on the outer edges, coming in while we were watching the other property tax relief bills go forward, a few individually sponsored, some good ones in there, and the main committee bills. Okay, we go through the session, and I can start to see some of those bills killed or simply held up in the committee. And I started to get concerned, so I was communicating both with the leadership of the Senate and the leadership of the House and the governor's office, saying, what's our solution? Are we going to come out of here with a solution? That was midway. And then as we moved into those final weeks and nothing was happening, I got really concerned and almost panicky to some extent. I'd go make individual visits and say, what are we going to go home with? What are we going to finish up with? What's our property tax solution? If there was anything that I'd heard a lot about over the years, just this past 2 years, I'd heard a lot about property tax problems. And that was because, for example, I got a hold of Mel Schinkel. She's the assessor in Teton County. Debbie Larson, the assessor in Lincoln County. I call those the ground zero areas of property tax. In other words, our taxes went up the most. And in Teton County, they had property tax estimates increase from 2021 to 2022, an estimated 15 to 20%, similar or more in Teton County in 2022. You may have seen the latest story that came out over the weekend. The average home price in Teton County is now at $5 million.
Holy moly.
That spills down south of the canyon into our area. In Lincoln County, we had an average of 20%. We had some anomalies out there. One was 60%. And it just wasn't going to work. Our program for property taxes no longer worked for people, especially south of the county, where they're just simply wanting to have a home, have raise their families here, be a part of the school system, have jobs, have businesses and all of that. It no longer worked. So I was pushing hard to get something done. And I came down to the conclusion, as I watched these bills get backed up in the system, I thought, what's our opposition here? Because everybody was starting to feel it across the state. There were a few places. I had the senator from Bags get up and say, well, I don't have property tax problems. Well, you've got grace this year, but eventually we'll find you down in that part of the state as well. So as I studied it out, I kind of narrowed it down to three different things that we were getting pushback on. First two involved government funding, because these property taxes, the money from that goes back to support what? Local government and schools. So I saw some very visual pushback from the local governments, their representatives. I call them the hired hand. They show up and say, you can't cut these taxes because we'll lose this much money, for example, at county level. County commissioners very concerned about the loss of taxes. And at one point we had a bill. We said, well, let's backfill it. Well, what do you mean by backfilling? We go in and say, okay, you're going to lose this much in your county income. from the loss of property taxes if we decrease it this much. One backfill proposal put it at $84 million. And I said, I get up and reluctantly want to help my counties here, but this is a tough call, $84 million out of our general fund budget to make good on property taxes. Eventually that all failed because people couldn't stomach the thought of spending $84 million from the general fund to backfill the property taxes at the county level. Another pushback, this one was more quiet, was for our schools, all the money that went into there. And I noticed the legislation going into committees that, let's say they were school-friendly, and the bill wouldn't come out. And I said to one of my colleagues, I said, what are we doing here? Are we going to have a property tax solution, or are we going to find a way to tighten our belts a little bit? School level, and he said, well, you didn't get the memo, did you? We're going to protect our schools. I said, wait a minute. We're riding the local governments, our schools and everything, on the backs of the property taxpayers across the state. And still nothing was happening. We weren't getting anything out, or it wasn't passing. And then the third one was really hard for me to stomach at all, one proposal coming from conservative groups saying, well, okay, if we can walk out of here and some people are sent home without a property tax solution, and they show that they voted on the budget, which can be a controversial thing at times because you can cut that budget multiple times and still not have it where everybody wants it. We can send them home with a tax and spend label as a politician, and that turned my stomach because first and foremost, we should be down there with the mandate from what we heard from our people across the state is let's reduce those property taxes. It wasn't political. That was wrong. That was fundamentally wrong to use that proposal. And we had to go back to our local governments, our schools, so forth. Maybe we need to tighten our budget here, figure out how to get this done because we can't continue to have these escalating property taxes. Debbie Larson, our assessor, sent me a note at one point. He sent me a text and said, hang on. In addition to what you've already seen, it could be another 20% above last year's. And I said, this is not acceptable. Very concerned. So here we have all the property tax bills going down. We're down to the final week. No solution. Guess what? There was one property tax bill left in the solution, in the whole process, in the solution. Senate Joint Resolution 3. That was the bill I started, remember, in the very early days that gave property tax relief to the elderly and the infirm. Good concept. Just a resolution, you put it on the ballot, and then you come back in, and some people were getting confused. You put it on the ballot, then you come back in and pass specific legislation. Maybe I want property tax relief just for someone that's, say, 70 years old and at this income bracket. You can finite it then. You can go back in and take it then. Lo and behold, that was the only possibility that was left. And Representative Storr from Jackson, I call it our ground zero places, Jackson and Star Valley for property tax problems, she comes over and I got Senate Joint Resolution to the point where it was on the House floor, but by very close votes out of the House committee. And she stepped on the back of the House floor during a break and said, listen, I got to talk to you. I said, what about taking and creating a separate property tax class, combining some other legislation work that had been out there? And I said, yes, but just on a quick rush by like this, I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I'm going to give up that bill just for that yet. So let's talk more. So we ended up downstairs. There's already somebody hosting a lunch somewhere. Went down there, and we used that time to talk this over. And she said, what about we create this separate residential property tax under Senate Joint Resolution 3? Now, how complicated is that, Duke? We got to strip out everything that's in Senate Joint Resolution 3. And there are people that sleep with the rule book underneath their pillow, and they don't like that kind of stuff. And I said, let's take a look at it. And we left our conversation with, put something together, go find some people that understand the whole process of amending a joint resolution to that extent. She worked on that, and the more I thought about it, I was headed back into the Senate later in the day. I said, no. I went back down to see her, Representative Storr, and I said, listen, I leaned over. They were in a quick break, and I leaned over, and I said, hurry, get this put together. This is our only solution. Let's do this. And that was on a Tuesday, and she started working on that, and I knew it was going to be on the House floor. Senate closed early. I was scheduled to go to dinner with our Star Valley students. They'd come over, they traditionally do. Our Star Valley Middle School government students, they'd come over with Mr. Millen and other faculty members and Mr. Johnson and visit the legislature. They're introduced in the House and the Senate. We make a big deal of them being there, and I get them in to see the governor. In this case, they got in to see the First Lady, too. It was a great trip. I was supposed to go to dinner with him, but I sent a text. I said, I'm going to be late because I want to be over the House and watch the debate on Senate Joint Resolution 3. And I thought, how on earth can we get this pulled together? Well, the debate went on. It started up, and they got fired up. And at first it was kind of like, no, we can't do this. So they broke up into a rules committee on the House floor. The speaker pulled them around. And they ended up voting on, can we do this or can we not? Strip out this bill and kind of make it a whole new bill. Senate Joint Resolution 3, but make it a whole new bill with a new title. Original sponsors are still on it. And they decided, yes, they could. Then the debate went on to an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And I was late for dinner, but when it was all said and done, they pulled about 53 votes out of their 62 members. It was good. They were going to do this. And I was surprised. I was shocked, stunned that that would be approved. But that told me, too, that there was a desire to have property tax relief. So, lo and behold, it comes to my floor the next day. And it's my job to get people rounded up around this whole new proposal on Senate Joint Resolution 3. And first run through the floor, I could see I got problems. I invited Representative Storer over to visit with some folks, too. We kind of worked things out. Talked to a couple of my key senators who are, we call our property tax gurus, and they're going, I don't think so. And I could see we were going to lose the vote. So I laid it back a day, which you can do under our rules. Asked that it be laid back. They call you, are you ready for concurrence? Senator Dog said, no, I'd like to lay this back a day. We got that. They gave me a chance to talk to more people, work on some more people. One of my key senators, a senior senator, said, I need to understand exactly what to do. So I took the bill and redid it. Pulled just the concurrence information out, handed it to him on a piece of paper, and then we did what we're not supposed to do, is do a substitute bill. Did it anyway and said, here, this is what it does. And then we passed that out. I passed that out to the whole Senate. Everybody had a copy. And by the next day, the sun came up and the senior senator come in and he said, Dan, I think I'm with you on this one. I needed that extra day, that extra night for him to sleep on it, study it, and think about it. And as we worked the floor, I could see we may have some possibilities here. Well, we jumped onto the floor debate, and my leadership team, they got up and said it was a bad deal. One of my attorneys got up, and I told her later, I says, you didn't have to hit me that hard. So you threw me down, kept kicking me in the debate. We were firing back and forth, and I have two times to get up and speak. And I got up and spoke strongly. I said, what else are you taking home at this point? And that's how I closed my final part of the debate. I said, what else are you taking home to people in your districts? Are you taking them home property tax relief? You're not now, but you will be with this resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 3. And it passed. We needed 21 votes because it's an amendment to the Constitution. We needed two-thirds. We needed 21 votes. It came in with 22 votes in favor. Boom. Passed both the House, passed the Senate. Unheard of. Absolutely unheard of to do something like that in the final hours. Nothing in the history. Speaker got up in his comments down at the governor's office to say, this is a piece of history, isn't it? I say, it absolutely is. And we ran it straight down to the governor the next day. He signed it. Done. All in the final moments of the legislation, Senate Joint Resolution 3. It was probably my highlight of not only this year, but probably one of my legislative career highlights that we got that done. But we had to be very creative, and we had to, that was a lot of heavy lifting in the final moments. But it's done. It'll be on the ballot in the coming year, and urge people to back up and support it because it creates a separate property tax class that we can actually go in now and use specific legislation to go in and drop the property tax, give property tax relief to homeowners. This isn't for second homeowners. This doesn't benefit those who decide they're going to all of a sudden call Wyoming their second home. This is just for those who live here, their primary residence, live and work here. This is what I wanted to get done in the first place.
It's a pretty incredible story, Senator. You mentioned it's got to be on the ballot, so it's a non-election year. So how does that work? Is there going to be some sort of ballot initiative this upcoming fall? Do you wait a year?
No. It'll be on the next general election ballot. There'll be a lot of people voting because that's a presidential election. A lot happening that year, and I suspect the people across the state will have experienced another year of this incredible, sickening property tax rate increase that we've seen, just because people are finding our beautiful state and say, that's all you want for that piece of property? I'll buy it all. Plus I'll buy the whole mountainside. I'll buy it all, you know, and we're not living that life here. We're just living, trying to have a decent life in Wyoming with our families. And it's affected us, this change, all because of COVID or whatever. It all seemed to change after that. It worries me because I like the nice, quiet life of Wyoming. And I don't necessarily like the big dollars floating around. I like to just call Wyoming home.
That's Wyoming State Senator Dan Dockstetter in studio this morning. Senator, appreciate that summary. Anything else you wanted to mention while we have you?
No, there are a lot going on. I'll just summarize with this. Excuse me. 497 bills and resolutions. So, excuse me, when somebody comes up and says, what about House Bill 44? Wait a minute. 497 bills and resolutions. That's what we went through. 39.4% of the bills passed for a total of 196. 61% of the committee bills passed in both chambers. 30% of the individually sponsored bills passed in both chambers. All done in 37 legislative days. 23 vetoes from the governor. 21 were line item vetoes and supplemental budget. I'll mention the Senate came in and overrode some of those. And for the fun of it, one of our news organizations says, well, how do we feed and get people drink for this? 4,394 meals were served to lawmakers, 95 pounds of caffeinated and decaf coffee brewed in the Capitol for a total of 3,000 cups. I myself, I like a mineral water that's cold, and I just sip it throughout the day, and that's how I make it through. Altogether, right before that property tax vote, we've tallied up what we'd voted on the Senate side. And as senators, we had voted 1,145 times during that legislative session.
Wow. Senator Dockstetter in studio this morning with a legislative summary wrapping up. You can find this full conversation later today at SVINews.com as well as on the SVI News app.